Welcome to the podcast for Sound the Trumpet, How to Blow Your Own Horn, written by Jonathan Harnum and read by me, John Harnum. Thanks for listening. You can learn more about this book and my other books at allabouttrumpet.com. There you'll also find free video lessons, a whole bunch of free PDFs with scales and lesson plans and lesson tracking and all kinds of other stuff. There are also some free MP3s related to this book. And there's also a store for many things trumpet related, including more method books, recordings, all kinds of gear for playing. So go have a visit. There's lots of free stuff there. And if you're asked for a password, password from one of my other books, the password is Lewis, as in Lewis Armstrong. We'll see you online. This podcast covers
Chapter 6, Avoiding Bad Breath. Virtually any aspect of trumpet playing will improve in direct correlation with improved breathing. Keith Johnson, The Art of Trumpet Playing. This chapter covers why learn to breathe, taking a correct breath, the breathing tube, breathing exercises, and gadgets for better breathing. Some terms to know: breath mark is an apostrophe-shaped symbol placed above the staff to indicate a breath is to be taken. Diaphragm, the muscle that controls the inhalation and exhalation of the lungs. Breathing tube, a tube of PVC, cardboard, or paper that helps to open the throat for a good breath. NB, no breath, don't breathe, used as a reminder to avoid breaking a musical phrase with a breath. Why learn to breathe? The fact that trumpet is a wind instrument is the first clue that wind, or breath, is an inseparable part of the instrument. Without your air, the trumpet will make no sound at all. Your breath is as much a part of the instrument as the valves or mouthpiece is. If you start good breathing habits as soon as you begin playing, you'll make things much easier for yourself. The benefits of good breathing are better tone, better intonation, better range, more endurance, louder louds, and softer softs. Sound good? You might think breathing is such a natural thing that you don't really need to learn much more about it. But breathing for a wind instrument is special and needs to be done correctly if you want to be a good player. You can actually increase the amount of air you're able to take in, known as your vital capacity. Older players are especially encouraged to build their vital capacity with the exercise found in this chapter. The physiology of breathing. Breathing is usually done without thought. Your body knows what it needs to do and does it. However, unlike digestion and most other automatic bodily functions, you can take control of your breath. It's easy to hold your breath or take a deep breath or expel all the air out of your lungs. Controlling the breath is important because taking a breath for trumpet playing is different from normal breathing. At first, you'll need to be very conscious of what you're doing. The following information may or may not be useful. It can be valuable to know exactly what is happening in your body when you breathe. However, it's not information that you must have in order to learn how to take a good trumpet breath. If you're bored by such details or feel you don't need to know, go ahead and skip forward. If you like such details and want to learn more, listen on. There's a rhythm generator in your brain which fires about 12 times a minute, on average, for your entire life. This happens for reasons not completely understood. This rhythm helps your brain know when it's time to breathe. When it is time to breathe, your brain sends an electrical impulse down your phrenic nerve to your diaphragm, the muscle which controls inhalation and exhalation. The diaphragm is the main muscle of breathing. It stretches across the chest from side to side and front to back. When you inhale, the diaphragm contracts downward. This creates a vacuum in the lungs which draws air down into them. When the air enters the lungs, something has to be displaced to make room for it. That something is the rest of your innards, stomach, liver, intestines, etc. So when you take a deep breath, your stomach should push out a little. There's a diagram below to help with the visualization. Take a breath or three and try to feel what is going on inside. Now, clearly you can't see the diaphragm, but it's a cross-section of the human body, and you can see all of your innards, basically, and where the lungs go, and there's some lines showing the diaphragm. And basically you can see that that stuff has to be displaced. Basically your stomach has to come out when you take a breath. There are some great visualizations on this at allabouttrumpet.com. There are some videos that show precisely the muscles that are being used and what's happening with the breath. So if you're interested, go check those out. So one of the reasons these diagrams are helpful, especially the diagram on the left, which is a cross section, is that they show what happens to your guts when you inhale. Stress and not wanting to look fat cause us to breathe shallowly up high in our chests. As you can see, when you take a full deep breath, your abdomen has to expand outward to make way for all the air you're taking in. If you want to play trumpet well, you have to learn how to take a good breath. This will take some time, some concentration, but keep at it. Work with your teacher. So the correct breath. A large breath can be thought of as a three-step process, with the first step being the most difficult to learn. It's not that hard. It's more about awareness than anything else. Awareness of what your body is doing, awareness of what you want to accomplish, and awareness of whether or not you've accomplished it. So a very important aspect of the correct breath is posture. The less flesh that is in the way of the incoming air, the better. If you're slouched over, this will cramp your lungs, and they won't be able to expand to their full capacity. If your head is tilted left or right, up or down, your throat will be constricted, and you won't be able to get the maximum amount of air through. Inhalation should be quiet. If you hear noise on your inhale like this, or the Darth Vader effect, if you hear noise, your throat is in the way. There's skin in the way. So sit or stand tall, jaw level with the floor, and chin slightly tucked in. You can also try thrusting your jaw forward a little to help open the throat. So the first step of the proper breath. When we're babies, we breathe like a trumpet player should. As we get older, the tensions of living in the world cause our breathing to become more shallow up high in our chests. If you watched a baby breathe, you've probably seen their little stomach push in and out, and that's exactly how it's supposed to be, and that's the first step of the three-part full breath. It's the most important part, too, so practice until it's automatic. I've been playing trumpet for over 30 years now, and I still try to remain conscious of this part of the breath. So the following preliminary exercises will help you feel what should happen during the first stage with proper breath. So one option is to lie on your back and relax. Just rest your hand on your stomach and take a deep breath. Your hand should rise up as your lungs fill and the air displaces the rest of your innards. If this doesn't happen, you're breathing shallowly up higher in your chest and your shoulders are probably moving. So just keep practicing. Just relax. Let your stomach rise and fall as you take that breath in. The second option, you can sit on a chair and lean over until your chest is resting on your lap. Take a deep breath and stay in this position through several breaths and feel where your body is expanding. You'll feel it definitely down low in your stomach, and if you place a hand on your lower back and take another breath, you should feel your body expand and even back there in your back, and you'll feel the pressure around your midsection from your belly all the way through to your back. So once you've done both of these, sit or stand and try to breathe in the exact same way. Can you do it? Do you feel your body expanding in the same places? If not, keep practicing until you can. This is the most important part of the breathing process. Practice deep breathing wherever you are, whenever you think of it, until it becomes a habit. This is one of the most important things to learn as a wind player. It's really important. I mean, you can do this standing in line somewhere. Just anytime you think of it, stay with your breath and breathe deep down low in your belly. So step two. It's important to wait on step two until you've got step one down really well. This is because step one will give you much more air than any of the other steps. And also step two is where we usually breathe up higher in our chest. And it's easy to do not only this part. It's easy to do this part and neglect step one. So don't neglect step one. It's really important. After your abdomen pushes out and your lower lungs are filled as much as they can be, your chest will lift up and out as you continue to fill up with more air. Your upper chest will expand in this stage, but not anywhere near as much as your abdomen did in step one. Now, if you go to YouTube, I've got a series of videos on actually doing this breath, and that might help you visualize this a little better. So in step two, when your chest expands, you're not actually doing that expansion yourself consciously. This is what happens when you fill up with air. The air itself is expanding your chest. It's a very slight motion. So if you go to youtube.com/jharnam, you'll find those videos. So in step two, as you continue to fill up, after you fill up down low, step two, your chest rises a little bit, expands. Then in step three, there's some debate whether this part of the process is necessary. Some use it, some don't. Bobby Shue teaches it, so, you know, it certainly can work. But, you know, decide for yourself. The reason this step is debated is because it involves the shoulders rising a little bit, which can be the sign of a shallow breath. If you do this correctly, it's not. So in this third step, you're filling up the very top of your lungs. You're just all the way up, and this causes the shoulders to rise slightly. Now again, as with step two, you're not actually consciously doing this. This is just the air making your body rise up a little bit. So it's a very slight motion. Again, check the YouTube videos out and you'll see what I'm talking about. One of the things that Bobby Shue says that he does sometimes, especially when he's playing really high and needs a lot of compression, is he'll actually hunch his shoulders up a little and get as much air as he can and then lower them to add more compression when he plays, especially for really loud or high playing. So when you put that all together, it's really one fluid motion, and it's all happening almost all at once because you want to take a very fast breath when you breathe. Oftentimes you just have a split second, maybe an eighth note or a 16th note worth of time in order to get a full breath. And if you do this full breath correctly, you can get a huge amount of air in a very, very short time. But it all happens at once. So when you practice, however, it's better to do it one step at a time. But as you put it together, it all, you know, combines into one whole. It takes a lot more time to explain this type of breath than it does to actually perform it. And at times, you know, like I said, this breath has to be very fast. And even when you have the time, it should take less than 2 seconds to fully tank up. In order to do this breath quickly, your throat must be open. So check your posture, maybe push your jaw forward a little, and go through the three stages slowly at first, then more quickly until it's automatic and fast. There's a tool called a breathing tube, which will help get your throat open and help to speed up the process. So we're going to learn about that in just a second. If you spend time at the beginning of each practice session focusing on breathing, this is a really valuable thing. It means doing the exercises that I've just talked about, using the breathing tube, which I'm going to talk about, and doing the breathing exercises that are beyond this. I try to do this pretty much when I warm up. I don't use the breathing tube all that much anymore because I can do it automatically. But if I'm really needing to tank up, I'll take it out and remind myself. The breathing tube. This isn't a snorkel, it's a piece of 1-inch PVC tubing, or any type of tube, like the cardboard in a roll of toilet paper or a rolled up file card, which will help teach you how to take a good breath. I have my students wear one around their neck and use it for a few years or until the breath is good and big and automatic. And like I said, I still use mine during warm-ups to remind myself. And again, on the YouTube, my YouTube channel, you can see a quick video of how to make one of these out of a cardboard toilet paper roll. They're a little too big, so you have to modify it. So once you have one, place the tube in your mouth over your tongue and put it at least an inch or more into your mouth. This might be a little uncomfortable at first, but as long as you don't gag, you'll be okay. If you do gag, I apologize, don't put the tube in quite so far. So the tube's in, now take a slow 3-step breath. Exhale. Now do a quick one. So you should be able to feel how different that inhale is. And you should be able to feel how quickly you got a lungful of air. The air should just fall right into your lungs quietly, with very little effort, and nearly instantly. This is what taking a good breath feels like. This breathing tube lowers your tongue and opens your throat and allows you to breathe like you should, and it should be fairly quiet too. So practice slowly going through all three stages, and then speed it up until you can do it quickly. Like I said, this is just really one quick motion. It's not three distinct phases. The three things happen pretty much all at once, one after the other, just bang, bang, bang. So as you practice, you might want to sit down because taking this much air in will probably make you feel a little lightheaded. And if this happens, just wait till the feeling passes before you continue. So some breathing exercises. Sit-ups. Yes, something as simple as sit-ups will help improve your breathing. Playing trumpet not only involves breathing, but also blowing, and sometimes blowing very hard, like, for example, when you're playing high or quietly with a harmon mute in. Strong stomach muscles are essential to blowing on trumpet when playing loudly. Plus, doing sit-ups is good for your lower back. In fact, exercise in general is great for your trumpet playing and your life, so do some. Number two. Take a piece of typing paper and draw a bullseye in the center of it. You can find a free bullseye at allabouttrumpet.com if you don't want to make your own. But hold the paper out right in front of your face and blow towards the center of the bullseye as though you were blowing soap bubbles through a wand. When the paper moves outward, hold it steady with your air so it doesn't flutter around. Do this several times and be sure to sit and or take a break if you begin to get dizzy or lightheaded. Gradually move the paper further and further out with each new breath until the paper is at arm's length as far as you can get it out there. It'll be more difficult to keep the paper pushed back and it'll be more difficult to keep it steady the further away it is. But keep the air flowing and you'll have pretty good success. Once you can do that at arm's length, tape the paper to a stand so you can back up even further. Keep backing up till you're about 10 or 15 feet or until the paper doesn't move. The distance you'll be able to move the paper will increase the more you practice this exercise. Number 3. This is a more difficult version of number 2. Sit in front of a candle in a windless room. Take a correct deep breath and blow. Focus your airstream on the candle and try to bend the flame without blowing it out. As with the paper, keep the flame bent back in the same spot and don't let it waver. Now, this is really hard to do. It'll take a lot of practice. I mean, it's going to waver almost no matter what you do, but you can get it pretty steady. So then, again, back up and do it again. See how far away you can get and still affect the flame. Keep at it. The benefits are worth it even if you can't feel them yet. Number 4, set up a metronome to beat at 60 beats per minute, or keep track of the seconds on a watch. Breathe in fully and deeply for 2 beats, 2 seconds, then focus your airstream like you did with the bullseye exercise and blow for 6 seconds. Get rid of all your air by the time the 6th beat ends. Take another 2-beat breath and do it again. After 2 repetitions, increase the blow count to 7 and do that twice. Then increase to 8, then 9, then 10. Do each one 2 times. Learn to conserve your air and use as much of it as you can in the time that you're given. If you start to feel lightheaded again, stop until the feeling passes. This isn't in the book, but another thing you can try with this is hissing instead of blowing. This will give you more resistance, so you're going to have to push harder to get all of that air out in 7 counts, 8 counts, 9 counts, whatever it is that you're doing. But that's another good exercise. Number 5. Stop and rest if this one makes you lightheaded or dizzy. Breathe in for 2 counts, focus your airstream, and get rid of all your air in 5 counts as before. 2 beats of deep inhale and exhale all of your air in 4 beats. Then inhale 2 and blow 3. Then inhale 2 and blow 2. And finally inhale 1 and blow for 1. Repeat each one twice. Keep your airstream focused like you're blowing soap bubbles. It'll be much more difficult to get rid of all that air in 1 beat. Your stomach muscles should get a nice little workout with this one. And it'll get an even better workout if you do it with the hiss. The sss. Okay? And it'll be much more difficult with the hiss too. Number 6, hold a small piece of paper against the wall, stand back about 6 inches, take a good 3-step breath, and blow. Hold the paper against the wall with your airstream. Take a breath and move back an inch or two. Hold the paper with your hand as you breathe this in, of course, otherwise it's going to fall on the floor. Blow again and pin that paper to the wall with your breath for as long as you can. And you're going to back up a little with each new breath. So how far back can you stand still or stand and still hold the paper against the wall? That's the trick. And you can track your progress on this with the tracking forms that come with this book. Again, free PDF, allabouttrumpet.com. Number 7, so far you've had no resistance to your exhale, unless you're doing the hissing. But playing trumpet involves resistance. So take a deep breath and exhale 3 times. After the inhale, blow through the trumpet without the mouthpiece 3 times. Then blow 3 times through the mouthpiece alone. Just no embouchure, you're just putting it on your mouth and blowing, feeling the resistance of that mouthpiece. Then put the mouthpiece in the horn and blow 3 more times. Of course, you have to take the breaths, right, beforehand. And still no embouchure, you're just putting your lips around the mouthpiece and blowing. And you can feel the pressure that the horn has naturally. If you want a little more of a challenge, you can stick a harmon mute in the end and you'll get even more back pressure. So finally, form an embouchure, but don't make a buzz, and blow 3 more times after a good 3-step breath. So you should feel the resistance increase with each step in this exercise. And if you're going to use a harmon mute, I would suggest doing it at the very end after forming the embouchure and blowing. So when to breathe. When to take a breath is an important skill to learn because it can't happen just anywhere. Because a breath takes some time, even at its fastest, and because your horn won't make any sound as you inhale, it's important to put the breath where it won't interfere with a melodic or harmonic phrase. If you took a breath in the middle of a phrase, that would be like saying a sentence with a bunch of pauses in it, and that would be distracting to listen to or to read. or speak. So it's important where you place that breath. Some music, especially for beginners, is marked with what are called breath marks, which look a lot like commas and are written near the top of the staff. Often when you write them in your music is to remind yourself to take a really large breath so you can make it through a phrase. The larger the breath you need, the larger the breath mark is usually drawn. And if you don't pay attention to it, you can make it bigger, circle it, highlight it, whatever else it takes. On the other hand, there are also times, and this is probably more frequent, when you need to take a breath, or you need to break the habit of breathing in the wrong place. And this is what chops up the musical phrase, like I was talking about. In this case, you'd write a large NB where you usually take the forbidden breath. And this stands for, you guessed it, no breath. When you have too much air, oboe players have a difficult job. They have to take really big breaths, but because they're pushing the air through a tiny little reed, they almost always have extra air in their lungs. They not only have to breathe in, but they also have to breathe out to get rid of the old stale air. You'll also have to do this occasionally, but lucky for you, not as often as oboe players. It's important to have a good volume of air in your lungs to get compression that you need to play. But once that air is used up by your body, you have to get rid of it and replenish it with fresh air. So the longer you play, the more you'll learn to use your air and identify such places as these, and just use your judgment. Using gadgetry to help you breathe. It's fun to mess around with odd-looking contraptions, especially if they help you breathe better. The breathing tube was a very simple gadget compared to what comes next. These gadgets will help you become aware of your breath. They're great tools to get you thinking about your lung capacity, your state of relaxation, lengths of inhales and exhales, and other important aspects of a good breath. Apply what you learn with these tools to playing on the horn. A good teacher can and should help you with this, and a good teacher will probably have some of these devices. Even with the greatest teacher in the universe, however, it's still ultimately up to you. A good breath is a habit you must work to develop and continue to monitor. So watch the bouncing ball. Most of these devices use a ping pong-like ball, which rides on the column of air that you provide, whether you're inhaling or exhaling. For your own version of this, try putting a ping pong ball on your mouthpiece cup. Carefully blow through the shank of your mouthpiece so you're blowing backwards through the mouthpiece, and you'll notice that the ball will stick there in any position as long as you're exhaling. This is a fun thing to try. This is also a video up on YouTube that you can check out. These breathing gadgets were developed by and used first by physicians. They're used for people with punctured lungs and have people who have breathing difficulty. But one of the first musicians to take advantage of these was Arnold Jacobs, the tuba player for the Chicago Symphony. He was the principal tuba for the Chicago Symphony for, I believe, something like 55 years. This guy really knows the breath, and he taught long, long time about using these gadgets, and really was instrumental, if you'll pardon the pun, in helping us, or helping a lot of people, use these gadgets to breathe better. So the first one is called the Voldyne, and I chose this one first because it has a cool name. It's like something out of an old Flash Gordon movie. The Voldyne allows you to check the strength and volume of your inhalations. It has two chambers which measure air volume and air pressure. There's a gauge which tells you how many milliliters of air you can take in, and a marker which marks the high point of your lung capacity. So before you inhale, empty your lungs completely so you get a more accurate measure of your lung capacity, also called your vital capacity. When you inhale, do it as quickly as you can, and this will measure the strength of the pressure of your inhale. You could also should do it as slowly as you can, and you'll see a little device on the side of this Voldyne that will measure exactly how you're doing that. Again, there are more videos about this on my YouTube channel. So, and you can get to that from allabouttrumpet.com or from YouTube. The second device is called a breath builder. This was invented by bassoonist Harold Hansen, and it's a tube with a ping pong ball in it and a smaller straw-like tube coming from the top. The tube has three holes in the top, so you can vary the resistance. You inhale or exhale into the tube, and the ball goes up to the top of the tube and stays there as long as you're inhaling or exhaling at the minimum amount of pressure. It's like 14 ounces or something like that. The device helps to maximize inhalation and exhalation and is a great way to practice keeping your airflow steady and smooth. They cost around $18. And another thing with these holes in the top, you can, the more holes you cover, the more difficult this becomes. And you can really give yourself a good workout, a good stomach workout using this device. Another trick you can do with this is to put it at a little bit of an angle to make it a little easier and back off the straw a little bit and just focus your air, blowing the air into the hole from a distance. This is much more difficult, but with some practice, you can do it pretty easily. The next one is the Inspiron. Another Flash Gordon-y kind of name. This device is also known as the incentive spirometer. A friend of mine had a collapsed lung, and when I went to visit him in the hospital, he had one of these devices next to his bed to help him recuperate. The Inspiron allows you to visualize how much air you can inhale, and when you turn it over, how much air you can exhale. You can call it maybe an expiron when you turn it over. There's also a gauge to help measure resistance, and you can move the gauge to give yourself more resistance or less resistance, depending on what you need. The Inspiron also has a ping pong ball, which measures your lung performance. So if you set the resistance to maximum, inhale, move the ball up to the top of the column, and then just before the exhale, turn it over, and you're going to keep the ping pong ball basically in the same place. The cost for these is about $16. The airbag. This is a simple device which allows you to see how much air you're able to hold in your lungs. The bags come in 5 and 6 liter varieties and will give you a rough idea of your vital capacity. And one of the benefits to using these airbags, especially for several breaths in a row, is that you'll avoid hyperventilation by rebreathing the air that has less oxygen in it. And these cost around $25. The next one, this is the big spender of the group, is a variable resistance compound gauge. And this was actually invented by Arnold Jacobs, the tuba player for the Chicago Symphony, who I mentioned earlier. And it's used to measure the inhalation and exhalation cycle. It'll also help you increase both the inhalation and exhalation, and increases your vital capacity as well. The problem is that they'll set you back around $120. So they also have holes in the top, which can vary the resistance of the gadget too. If you're interested in getting these, you can go to the store at allabouttrumpet.com, and you'll see most of these there. A couple of them you have to get elsewhere, which you can go to windsongpress.com to get those. So stick with this breathing thing. Get feedback from your teacher, either your teacher at school or your private teacher. Get feedback from other players, too. Often other people who are wrestling with the same things as you might give you insight into what you're trying to accomplish. So talk with other interested musicians about these things. Doesn't have to be a trumpet player. Anybody who breathes to make sound. You know, your education is out there, and you don't necessarily have to have a teacher to get it. Just pay attention, ask questions, and experiment with yourself. Thich Nhat Hanh said, "This life is the instrument with which we experiment with truth." So get out there and experiment. Some resources for further study, if you'd like, are some books. One is by Arnold Jacobs. Actually, it's not by Arnold Jacobs. It's by Brian Fredrickson, but it's about Arnold Jacobs. It's called Arnold Jacobs, Song and Wind. That's by Windsong Press. Another is Brass Playing is No Harder Than Deep Breathing by Claude Gordon. Another is Brass Wind Artistry by Paul Severson and Mark McDunn. Another is The Art of Breathing by Nancy Z. That's a good one. And another is The Science of Breath by Yogi Ramacharaka. And all those books are excellent resources. And again, you can find those at the store at allabouttrumpet.com. Up next, next is an interlude that has nothing to do with trumpet playing directly, but without it, you'll never improve. It's that dreaded word called practice. And practice shouldn't be dreaded, but embraced. There are tried and true methods for reaching your goals with a trumpet, and in this chapter you'll discover some of them. And this is an interlude between sections, and it's called The Practice of Practice. In fact, this is the main focus of my research, both for my PhD in music education at Northwestern University, and also for my next book, which is called The Practice of Practice. So this chapter, as it appears in Sound the Trumpet, How to Blow Your Own Horn, I will basically give you the chapter as it appears in the book, but I'll be adding a lot of other things because my feelings about these and my knowledge about this and the research on this is much beyond where it was when I actually wrote the book. So this will be the most recent version of The Practice of Practice. So I hope it helps you out. And that is it for Chapter 6.
Thanks for listening. Remember that you can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes or on my blog. And again, you can reach those at allabouttrumpet.com. This work is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike 3.0. Have fun, good luck with your practice. Yeah.